and slow from Delaware.
Yeah.
Haven't heard all the details, but.
Okay.
It really was. I mean, I don't live in the district, but it was still unfortunate. Just had, I mean, an impact on the township, I think. So, back to the drawing boards.
All right. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees on May.
Sixth.
Right. 2010. At 7:02 PM. And I would like Ms. Kay Erickson, if she would, to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kay. Fiscal officers report.
Okay, the first item I have for approval this evening are the special trustee meeting minutes from the special trustee zoning meeting that was held January the 7th, 2010.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes, meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting held January 7th, 2010.
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Motion carries. Minutes approved. Thank you.
Thank you. The second item on the agenda tonight are the April 2010 financials. I'm not exactly quite sure what Pat goes over with. Does he just present them to you, or does he go over anything?
He goes over. He gives us the balance.
Okay.
And let's see, what's in, I believe, some of our accounts,
Currently, our investment accounts are sitting at a balance of $11,583,277.08, and the current checking account balance is $437,790.98, and all accounts are reconciled.
All right. Thank you.
The third item this evening is a supplemental appropriation. I'm asking for this within the TIF fund. One of the things that has come out from the audit, they didn't quite like the account that we were using within the TIF fund. We use other financing issues. It's the account 990-990. Or for like transfers out, those type of items. The things that we're paying for within the TIF fund, those are more of improving a site's capital expenditures. So at this time, I would like to move the original appropriation that you guys had set forth when we established the 2010 appropriations. Okay. It's $288,000. I would like to move it from the account, the 990-990, into the capital improvements 760-730.
Just like
to
make a comment.
Mr.
That,
Wise?
Yes. Up until this time, there was not an account fund code set up for that purpose. So we've only had to go by that 999 account. So that's one of the reasons why it's always been done that way. So now, through the recommendation of the auditors, we've set up the capital fund within the TIF, which finally makes sense that they allow us to do that. So
is this a fund within a fund?
It would be a line item, a account line item within the fund.
Fine.
Okay.
That's correct. Yes, it's an account within the fund.
But it is TIF funds.
Yeah. That is correct.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to retroactively authorize the fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriations. Moving to account number 2902-760-730-000 from account number
2902.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I messed up on it.
2902. I'm sorry. Let me start over. We want to process number 2902-760-730-000 730000 from 2902-990-990-000 in the amount of $288,000.00 for the reason being for the TIF improvement of sites.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Further discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, and then I have some then and now purchase orders.
Okay.
Our first one is to the Delaware County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. It is for fiscal year 2010. Emergency management apportionments.
Okay.
And that total is $8,753.60.
All right. Is there a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the then and now purchase orders of Delaware County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management in the amount of $8,753.60 for the 2010 emergency management apportionment.
Seconded.
Discussion?
Madam, question, is this a regular, can you explain a little bit about that point?
Yes. Every year, the office of the EMA, every municipality within Delaware County has to make a payment to receive any federal funding. And this is a per capita dollar amount. It's so many per person in the township. So it's based upon 21,800 residents divided by their
it's 40 cents.
40 cents per person.
Oh, okay.
It's a yearly fee. It's nothing new or anything out of the ordinary.
All right.
Thank you.
Got to pay money to get money. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Okay. My second purchase order is a then and now purchase order, and that's for our April HSA and HRA payments.
Okay, I'll move to approve a then and now purchase order to DataPath Inc. in the amount of $3,402.50 for April 2010 HSA and HRA transactions. Is there a second of the motion?
Seconded.
Is there discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
My final purchase order for this evening are for TIF legal matters for Benish, Friedlander, Copeland, and Arna, attorneys at law.
Okay. Is there a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the then and now purchase orders to Benish, Friedlander, Copeland, and Arna, LLP, in the amount of $3,493.75 for TIF legal matters.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Madam Chair, this is simply part of the ongoing discussions about the TIF fund. We're having some discussions with the school district and with the city of Westerville. So.
Okay, and these are experts in TIF funds. The attorney from Benish is an expert.
That's correct.
And Madam Chair, these funds come out of the TIF itself?
That's right.
That is correct.
Okay,
yes.
So it is a payment from the TIF fund.
Correct, yes. Not general fund, correct.
Right.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Thank you. I'll have everything in your office for you to sign.
Okay.
Thank you
very much, Donna.
Ms. Batten, is there any sort of an update regarding the audit?
From my understanding is the audit is complete. Mm-hmm. The audit manager, Mr. Zane Cordes, he has made his final review. We are currently waiting on the legal letters back from our attorneys, basically stating that there's no, legal issues out there.
Sure.
Once we receive that, they can go ahead and they can finalize the audit, and at that time we can schedule a post-audit meeting if the board so chooses.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. It really does. There was a couple little, a little things we had to work out, some things that had kind of washed over from, 2007? So.
Okay.
But yeah, it would appear to be finally done.
Good.
Finally. Only, 3 months behind schedule?
Good.
So.
Great. Great. Thank you, Donna. Public comment. Does anyone wish to make public comment this time? Okay. Moving right along. Anybody? Oh, Bill. Come on now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. New business, maintenance.
Yes. I got several purse stories.
Okay.
The first one is the A&M Outdoor Concept Incorporated. It's for 18 trash cans. They're $294 each for a total of $52.92. Several vendors, and this is the lowest price of three that I got.
Okay. Should that be a separate motion?
It doesn't
Ms.
matter.
Batten?
It's however the board would like to handle it. When I worked up the draft,
okay,
they were grouped together, so
okay,
that's when I chose to grid them. If you'd like to separate them, that's fine. If not, one motion will be fine as well.
Okay. We can do them separately. That's fine since they're separate things. I'll move to approve the following purchase order to A&M Outdoor Concepts, Inc. in the amount of $5,292 for 18 trash cans. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion?
Bob, I just question. I mean, that amounts to like that's $294 per trash can?
Yes.
Could you describe what these trash cans are like? I
mean, they're recycled metal with a plastic coating on the outside. It has a steel drum lid. Okay. They're more vandal-proof. The other quotes that I got, most of them were over $400 per trash can.
Okay. Are these, like, secured to the ground?
Yes, we'll mount them in concrete, and these are going to be used along the walk path on Route 3.
Okay.
Plus, I bought 12 of them for McNamara Park.
Great.
Okay.
I did have a request, and I don't know if it'd be appropriate to use these or not, but at the recent opening of the gardens, I think they only have one receptacle, and there was a request to maybe have an additional one on the other side of the plots just for people that are moving debris around. And I don't know if you take this up here.
Two of them are for the gardens, too.
Okay. All right, great.
Yes, Mr. Wise.
About the vendor, A&M Outdoor Concept, this is a township resident, so we are buying local when we can.
Good.
Okay.
Good. That's great. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
And we've had a second, and any further discussion? All right.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Okay.
The next purchase order is for picnic tables, benches, and bike racks. And I did have quotes on both all the items there, and A&M was about $200 per picnic table higher, and Poly Products was the cheapest vendor, and those tables and benches and bike racks are for the McNamara Park. And I might add that in our worksheet that we got for McNamara's extension, they like the park benches. He had put in there $800 per bench, and I got the benches for about $250 each, $260
right.
each.
That's great.
So we probably saved probably $25,000-$30,000 in McNamara's extension already because of that.
And these are those fiberglass?
They're all plastic, recycled plastic.
Recycled plastic.
Same as we got now.
Okay.
Gee. How much did you say that you saved, Bob?
They were $260 a piece,
mm-hmm.
and in the Etzel's plan, he had put $800
okay. So whatever the difference is there, times, how many do we have?
We got 14 of them.
14, okay.
And the picnic tables, he had put $900 in. They were $670 apiece. And the bike racks were $650 in the plan, and they were $475.
Great. Thank you. All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a park purchase order to Poly Products in the amount of $18,224.87 for the purpose of picnic tables, park benches, and bike racks.
And I'll second that. Is there discussion?
Just appreciate Bob's effort in saving money.
All right. Yes.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
The next purchase order is to A&A Safety for a chainsaw that will cut concrete. Over the whenever I noticed on the Medallion Drive around all the catch basins, the concrete moved in the curb, and it broke the castings on a lot of the catch basins. We fixed three last week, but they came up and demoed the saw, and what we're going to do is cut some of the right before the end is when we put the new castings in. About 10 foot away, we're going to cut the concrete curb. Concrete has place for it to expand. Right now, it expands into the casting and breaks the casting, which a casting is about $300 or $400 per casting. And this will fit the hydraulic pack that we bought about 3 years ago. And I think we can save the concrete from breaking the casting to save a bunch of money, because there's 90 catch basins on Medallion alone. Gee. And I only seen three out of 90 that does not need work.
Oh my gosh.
It pushed the brick in and broke a lot of castings.
Bob, who engineered these? I mean, was this a developer?
There was a developer when it was put in, and it's one of the oldest subdivisions in the township, and over time it does that, but they didn't use expansion around the catch basins the way they should have, mm-hmm. And there's no place for the concrete to expand, so it just pushes until it breaks something and pops it up.
I mean, are we going to have this problem in other subdivisions, too?
Yes, we got it all over township. I've noticed catch basins that are in bad shape and other ones, too.
Bob, did I understand someone mentioned that it's possible if a car were to pull on the curb? I mean, is it the catch basin that's on the street surface? So if a car were actually to pull up against it, it could fall through? Is that a...
Yes, it's in the gutter plate.
Yeah.
And if they pull on that, the three that we fixed this week, we had to, because you could actually see down into the curb where it all undermined. And if somebody was walking or somebody drove on that, yes, it would have fell through.
I mean, how can we yeah. prevent this going forward? I mean,
that's why I want to buy that saw, because you got to leave room for expansion. That's the only way that I know of to stop that curb from moving when it freezes and thaws. It just pushes it up.
Right, but do we have anything in place for future subdivisions? I mean, if we're going to build any streets to address that problem when it's fixed the first time?
I definitely think the county is... probably watching a lot closer since all the billing was on. Elton can speak to that.
We do have a county engineer with us tonight. If he would come forward and address us.
No expert
I can't explain that. What happened initially back in 96, I believe, we had no Delaware County specifications. A developer would come in, lay down the plan, and say, this is what we'd like to build. And we literally said, okay. So that was the first set of supplemental specifications that we adopted at the engineer's office. We essentially took the Columbus standards and made them Delaware County standards. So what you are experiencing now are Columbus standards that had no expansion zones. It's a countywide issue with all of the older subdivisions. There's a predominantly on a curve or where there's a long section of concrete with no expansion. And we've changed that. We've put the expansion in our new supplemental drawings. So in the future, that won't be an issue. But it's something that we learned.
Gotcha.
And this is Mr. Elwood Johnson speaking.
Eldon
Johnson.
Yes. Speaking. I'm sorry, I should have said it.
Just so we're on audio, so.
Also a township resident.
That's right.
Did that answer? I just want to make sure going forward. I mean, I understand that this chainsaw kind of rights the wrong, but I want to make sure that going forward that there is a new standard in place and we don't have to go back after the fact.
We did not realize that would be an issue, and we essentially just copied something.
Are there any protections being put in place so that people don't walk over this, or I know we've seen it. Mr. Wise has emailed us the
yes,
pictures of this.
We put cones on the ones that were bad, but we got all the ones in that street fixed that were bad enough that somebody could fall into.
Yeah. Okay.
The only other question I have is just: is this something that was previously budgeted?
No, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out of account that we will not use all the money, though. There's probably plenty of money in that account that we won't use just because we ain't going to have time to fix some stuff that we're...
Okay. All right. I don't believe we have a motion yet, do we? We just got into the discussion. Anybody like to make a motion?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the purchase order for A&A Safety in the amount of $4,243 for a Stanley hydraulic diamond chainsaw.
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Okay. The last purchase order that I have is for topsoil from Price Farms Organic to address the poor dirt that's down on Center Green, especially along the walk path. Mm-hmm. When we built the walk path, we did not, we used the dirt that was down there, and it just will not grow grass. We want to add some topsoil, and we got some prisoners coming Monday. They're going to help from the sheriff's program, but it's for the dirt work so we can add topsoil to the ground down there and get some grass to grow.
Okay. I'll move to approve a purchase order to Price Farms Organic in the amount of $5,000 for dirt work on Center Green Road. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
I know we've had complaints from the residents there in the past, I remember. Okay. Any further discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving to administration.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Wagner.
I have some talking points. No action required on a couple of these items. First off, Bob expressed some concerns in his last request about not having adequate staffing to actually get all the jobs that are required this year completed. We've had a discussion. We have hired three young men that work in the Buildings and Grounds Department, and they're assisting with the grass cutting and weed whacking and fixing up cemeteries and parks and things, picking up trash. And we've hired one adult seasonal employee who's actually on a piece of equipment, a zero-turn mower. He's able to do a fine job helping out there for us. But there seems to be a gap in Bob's department with having some skilled labor to perform some duties such as concrete work, maybe some, you know, some engineering or carpentry work within the department for items such as the catch basins, and someone that has skills of truck driving that would assist us. Every day our guys are booked. They're out removing debris from McNamara, doing all of their summer duties that are required and requested, cutting grass within the right-of-way. But Bob and I have talked, and we can see a need that if we could hire a couple more seasonal skilled labor, that there would be a need for that for a few months this summer to help cut the backlog of work that we have. Bob, do you have any comments about that?
No, I think we got plenty of seasonal help that are kids, but I really need somebody that's a little bit skilled in some concrete work, like Paul said, to try to, you know, if I turn my guys that are there every day on fixing those catch basins, then we're not going to get something else done. I'm trying to juggle a bunch of different projects at the same time, and I just don't seem to get anything done because I'm so short on help. Any day of the week, I probably, out of the nine counting maintenance parks people, I probably only have six or seven there on any given day of the week, because they all have, most of them have 3 weeks vacation. They've earned comp time during the winter when I had them out plowing all the time. So I really only got six or seven people to do everything with. And I don't see us getting over the hump, especially with the project McNamara and everything. I don't see getting over the hump to get ahead of things again. Just like the catch basins, they came up, and it's something that we're going to have to address, and we started addressing it, but I don't have anybody to do anything else in.
Right.
We are trying to stretch our employees by going with this program that the sheriff has, have some men in orange helping us out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would, you know, cut down on the number of men Bob needs to station at that site. You know, with the prisoner program, it could take care of a lot of the labor-intensive part of that job. But the unfortunate part about this is that, it's kind of shocking, we don't have any applications right now from any skilled type labor positions, and I think it's a good thing for our showing that our economy's picking up a bit. But most of the interest that has been expressed here are for the young people in the townships that really don't have the skill level or a CDL, commercial driver's license, that would be able to help Bob's department, or experience working in with any equipment. That's where we have it's kind of. It's peaking up during the summer months because this is our peak construction period.
If I'm hearing right, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of special circumstances here. You have the comp time accrued because of the snowfall. You've got the whole catch basin issue, and you've got the debris at McNamara, which, you know, it's kind of a special thing that's just going to happen this year. But so I guess what I want to make sure, I mean, is this a symptom of a larger problem, or is this just kind of unique to this year where all these things kind of hit at the same time?
I don't think it's going to be unique this year only. I see it with what we're trying to do. I don't think six people for the township is a sufficient enough to do everything that we're doing. But I don't want to hire anymore unless I see that need year after year. I'd like to do with the six that we got and hire people for 2 or 3 months if we can find somebody. And then maybe it gets better with the catch basin and all that stuff drops off. And then, yes, I think sometime down the road that there won't be a problem with six guys. But I don't see it this year. And I think what we'll have left over this year will do us in next year, too. Because I know we cannot do that many repairs in 1 year.
We had budgeted last year, and when former board trustee Angleson and I discussed having the flexibility to budget a little bit more on McNamara, because we sort of expected whether those people be working in the park or shifting right. Our maintenance people over to the parks. So we did pow on some figures for McNamara Park in the salary range. So we did budget for a situation like this occurring. So at this point, it's only a discussion, because I know there's a demand, but right now we don't have any suitable applicants to fill the positions that we have.
And you were going to, I know, consult with the engineer's office?
Yes.
And,
I've been having, I must be some vacations out there also. See if they have any recommendation for skilled labor or, I don't know. Do you have a seasonal pool of employees that you use?
And
were they adult? And do you come? Does yours come from a source?
A recommendation could be school teachers who take the summer off, who are very responsible, build that.
You want to just repeat what?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnson from the engineer's office suggested it, that school teachers would be an excellent source of adult labor. Definitely a starting point and an ending point for their employment, which would be a good thing.
Well, would they be skilled in concrete? And
a lot of them have that background because they've done it during the summer months. Really? Extreme time.
That would be an excellent...
How do we tap into that?
Well, we have close ties to all the principals in the township. I can put out an appeal to them and see if there's any interest within their own staff that...
Sure.
And that would be nice.
Oh, that'd be great. Some publicity. Good. That'd be great.
Paul, and Bob, what's the... I mean... have we looked at the difference between hiring seasonal and contracting out on a per-job basis? I mean, we're talking concrete. Are we talking, is this something that can be done, you know, by a company and then you move on, or?
Yeah, instead of doing the catch basis ourselves, we could contract that out. But I think you can get couple, three employees that work part-time a lot cheaper, but I might be wrong. But I don't know that for a fact. But there's probably companies out there would love to do that. But then you got to have an inspector on the job with them. And
but I'm thinking about other, you know, I mean, if we look at what's the to-do list, what can be done by contracting. I mean, mowing grass, for instance, and I'm just using this as an example, is that something that could be once a week you contract for someone to come in and you mow whatever needs to be mowed, which frees up people who aren't mowing to do something else. So once you hire the person as a seasonal, then you have them for a season, and they're, kind of like, you feed the stray dog, they're there. And
yeah.
While I'm all in favor of, keeping people employed, if there are jobs that need to be done versus projects that, longer-term projects that are going to require a longer-term commitment of manpower.
Yeah, I could definitely look at that. That would be an idea to see what it would cost.
No.
So it's just a per-hourly basis, per hour, and it's a 40-hour week, or can we flex it?
Yes, 40 hours.
Okay.
Some of the problem with shifting, say if we move some of the buildings and grounds over to maintenance, some of those employees don't have the skills needed that Bob needs.
Right.
They're good drivers, but they're not necessarily good concrete people, good other people that he needs.
Yeah.
Most of them guys are good at mowing grass, but that's about it.
Sure.
Okay.
That's a good source. Thank you for your advice, Alden.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the point of this discussion tonight, is to let the board know and to get some good ideas on how to remedy the situation.
Great. And then you can talk to Mr. Alexis if he needs any more info. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Secondly, on the agenda this evening, I would like to have only a discussion at this time about a concern that I'm seeing in our own parking lot here at the township that has been going on for a few years. There's some base failure that's occurring in our parking lot, and it's at the old section mostly. There's a seam line out to the right side of the building here that Bob and I were looking at. It seems to be faulting pretty good, and I think that's where the old paving stopped and the new paving has started. Extensive cracking in the parking lot to the point where we've crack sealed it, and in the wintertime it gets to be very porous. It buckles up in its places, and I think it's time to get blacktop in this driveway. None of our township streets are in this condition, and I think it would be wise to consider at least ask Bob, or allow Bob to go out and solicit some quotations for an overlay of asphalt in this parking lot. I know it's probably been, I don't know how many years for this section of the asphalt since they paved it last.
It's been over 8 years that I've been here. It's been the same. It hasn't been over day. It's been crack sealed about 3 times since I've been here.
And we're trying to keep it sealed with the driveway sealer, but we do get extensive traffic running through here. People, when we're not in the office, they use it as a little cut through. Bigger trucks, school buses use it as a bus stop. So there's a lot of heavier vehicles on this driveway that are tearing it up. And if the board allows us, we'd like to get some quotations for, I don't know how many inch of an overlay.
Inch and a half would be plenty.
Do we need a motion on that?
We can bring you the quotations,
yes,
and then
I
you can
think
react
we need a
to
motion.
Them.
Just, is there any discussion? It sounds good to me. I say go ahead, and then we'll look at it.
And in addition to that project, Bob and I were talking, if we do something in a driveway, it may be time to upgrade our own building with ADA compliance with the ramps. If you've looked at our ramps out there, since we haven't done extensive work, they've kept the original concrete work around the building, and they're not the ADA compliant ramps that are approved nowadays. So we may look at that issue also. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next is the Genoa Township personnel policies. The township administration, Linda Greco and I, and you know, we've looked over the policy manual. We've submitted this to the board for your review and your comments. It seems like it's been behind the scenes. These are some of the things that goes on. Some discussion back and forth for months on this thing. So we have in your folders this evening the policy manual, and this is not the red line. This is a photocopy. Okay, you do have your red line, so
right.
It's a little easier to spot
right.
any miscellaneous changes. Linda's explained to me that some of the items in our policy manual, some of the changes will get us up to the standard on where we need to be according to federal standards of wording, et cetera.
Right. All the changes were straightforward. I did have just one question on something. If you want.
Okay, I'll try to field that right now.
That it's very simple.
Okay.
Page 25. Under pay period, the last line there in red, it seems as though the sentence there ended in the previous line after correction period, and then there's this part on the next line, if warranted, and which is not crossed out. And it should be. I think in looking at it, if warranted was placed at the beginning of the sentence.
It does look a little choppy.
So I think just if warranted should be crossed
yes.
out on the last
yes.
line, right?
It was cut and pasted at the beginning
okay,
of the sentence because
sure.
it sounded better at that
so
time.
Let's just cross that out.
Okay.
That was the only change that I had. Any comments?
No, didn't see it.
Okay.
The last time any revisions were done on our policy manual was January 15th, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough time. We had a change of board this year, so this is something we put off so that the new board could be comfortable with having some time to look it over, read it, and make any suggestions or corrections or additions.
Paul, question on page 32, service credit.
Yes.
Or any time we're raising... you know, in this case, we're going $450 in 5 years plus instead of 50 at 75 per year. Is that until you get there?
32.
Okay. So that change would be included once we approve the personnel manual, or
yes.
is that a set fee schedule, or how did that number come about?
That number came about by trying to mirror the union contract.
Okay.
This is one of the areas that fell behind what all the union employees were receiving.
Any other questions? Mike, I just had a question too. When it revised April 27th, 2010.
Yes. That was the date when all the revisions were typed into the system. We had a discussion about that this afternoon, whether it would be current or it seemed proper that when all of the changes went into place and the red line copy was created,
uh-huh.
that we call it that time.
Okay. You want us to use that date rather than today for approval?
Yes.
Okay.
I've talked to Donna, too, about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we
okay.
did discuss it. I thought maybe we should do the date of the meeting since it was approved, but
either one you're comfortable
yeah.
with, because there will be a change made this evening on the
right.
wording.
Right, and it
so.
Really wasn't. I mean, it was proposed. The proposed
yes.
revisions were
yeah,
done on
the true
on
revision
April.
Doesn't take effect until
right. until we approve.
We could
it
change
then.
That
That's
to
correct.
May 6th.
Okay.
2010.
Yes, let's change that to May 6th. Okay. That's what I do. Okay. I'll move to approve the 2010 employee personnel policy manual revised as of May 6, 2010, with all changes retroactive to January 1st, 2010. Is there a second to the motion?
Seconded.
Is there discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Great, thank you.
Thanks to Linda, whoever worked on it.
Yes. The number four on my agenda, this has been a long time coming. It's been under a lot of legal review, and agreement here for the McNamara Park construction documents. The agreement is for the professional design and engineering services. And Floyd Brown, after the bid firm for the township, the agreement has been looked over by our county prosecutor's office. The prosecutor's office has included any additions that they've required because of the new federal or new regulations with Homeland Security, all the certificates and affidavits that are necessary have been included, and the county prosecutor's office has signed off on this document as being reviewed and acceptable with them. If you can see, Dave Yost's signature is on the bottom of page 18. The contract with Floyd Brown would be for $68,300. This figure is the lowest and best offer that the township has received. I shouldn't say lowest because we weren't asking each firm for figures, but this is the best offer after review of all firms that the township could receive at this point. So I'm going to recommend a passage of this evening.
Okay. We can make a motion and then have a discussion.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to enter an agreement with Floyd Brown Group, LLC, for professional design and engineering services for McNamara Park construction documents, and to authorize our fiscal officer to issue a purchase order to the Floyd Brown Group, LLC, in the amount of $68,300. No change.
Is there a second?
No second.
Discussion. I noticed that it talks about the Board of Trustees, and then Mr. Bob Matthews will serve as the board representative with respect to the work performed, and Mr. Wise and Mr. Tips for the board. And so I'm certain we'll be able to have input too.
Yes.
In addition. Okay.
Well, we see on page 7, the compensation breakdown. Is there a timeline in here? What kind of timetable are we on?
This is a 3-month timetable.
Beginning?
To completion of the construction documents.
Okay.
And Mr. Ironman from Floyd Brown, Vice President Floyd Brown, I spoke with him this evening about this. He said that they are prepared to actually come in far ahead of that schedule. 3 weeks, they're hoping, if everything falls into place with all of their surveying and engineering services that we are requesting. So hopefully it be a little longer than a 2-month period turnaround time before we have the construction documents that will allow us to go out to bid formally for the work over in McNamara Park.
Okay. Great. Any other questions?
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. An email through the trustees, a request from the Boulder Ridge Homeowners Association to have the fire lane signs on the south side of their street removed. There's 5 signs currently on, is that Cambridge Crossing, Bob, or Upper Cambridge Way?
Upper Cambridge.
That were installed during the construction phase of their development. The road measures 32 feet wide plus or minus. I think it's plus if you're going by the back of the curb or the front of the curb. In which case, the standards of the fire department read that it has to be at least 32 feet to have any fire lane signs removed. It's a hardship on the residents to have these signs because there's positioning of hydrants along the way that will prohibit people from parking on the street in those certain areas.
Okay.
So they have asked the fire chief and the fire inspector to review the issue, and the inspector, it's warranted that the signs be removed. And I don't know if our fire chief has any comment about the issue this evening. No comment?
No, we have no objection.
No objection. So I'd like to ask the board to consider by motion the removal of the fire signs on Upper Cambridge Way.
Okay. Would anyone like to make that motion? You want me to make it?
Yeah, I'll make the motion that we remove the fire signs, Boulder Ridge, as requested by the Boulder Ridge Homeowners Association.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion. It certainly seems like a very common sense thing to do, and hearing no objection from our fire chief, I would certainly favor that.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Motion carries. Could we have a letter from the trustees to Mr. Allman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the last item on my agenda this evening would be a thank you to sponsors that have assisted with the Genoa Gardens. We've had a lot of corporate support of the project this past year. Folks in the audience and those that are listening on the website are not familiar, but we went from 24 garden plots and added 50 more. Now we're at 74. They're all rented. All the gardeners are there. There's a lot there during the day with family members. They're planting their seeds. And it's very, very popular program with our residents. We had a ribbon cutting last week. It was a beautiful night. All the three trustees were there to gather to enjoy that and to cut the ribbon with the participants. But some of the local corporate sponsors that have contributed to the gardens are Price Farms Organics. They subsidized the cost of 218 yards of compost of over $3,700. RKE Trucking in the township, they have trucked in for us at a discounted price. They delivered the compost. The Home Depot company, they provided a lot of things such as weed killer, discounted little tools for the gardeners, little shovels and things. Tractor Supply, they've discounted there's a large water tank on site, 1,500 gallon water tank. They've supplied us with 35 gallon water tanks on wagons, thank you, that are at the site. Shamrock Towing, a lot of folks questioned us saying, why are you building a new building out there? Well, that was the old shed that was sitting behind our township hall. It was cluttered with a lot of 30 years full of junk. I don't know how old it was, but it was cleaned out, and Shamrock Towing brought over a flatbed. They carried it over on their flatbed over to Worthington Road Park, and it was painted by staff, and it looks like a brand new shed over there. So it's nice because there's each of the gardeners has a combination to get into the shed, so they can leave their watering cans or gloves there on site, not to drag them back and forth. The Ohio State Extension Office also assisted the township through the master gardener, who offered a lot of advice on site, and will be offering classes to the gardeners coming up. So they have given their time and talent, along with the Donna Ray from the Delaware Soil and Water District, the advice, and she's going to be offering some classes for us. So thank you to all the corporate sponsors that have given to this Worthy WOW program. And I've had contact from a couple other townships this week, and I think they may try to mold a program, model a program off of Genoa Township for their residents, since their residents are calling their trustees. So it seems to be a popular program.
All right. Yes, that's. We thank all the sponsors, and I believe we've sent letters to the sponsors for that. All right. Now, our we have both police and fire chiefs here, and we'll start with our police fire chief, Bob Taylor. Thank you, Elvin.
Thank you. I thought we had Joe up here for a second. Just like to take this opportunity to thank our community and our levy and PAC committees for their support. Without them and the board of trustees, so I'm sincerely believe if it wasn't for the committee's help and the board's help, we would not have passed the way we did. But the community was behind us. They understood our message. So we sincerely thank you. And Bill and Kay are here from the committees. Thank you. We're going to send out an email to everybody, including the board, both committees. We're going to have a little barbecue fest on the 19th at the fire department for as a thank you.
Oh, that's great.
But again, thank you. I think it's a mandate for us, what they're doing, but to enhance what we're doing. So that's our goal.
It certainly is a testament to the citizens' belief and trust and in our safety services that they would vote increases in both fire and
yes.
police.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you, Chief. And Chief Honeycutt. Fire.
I'm just going to say ditto to what Chief Taylor said, but I just wanted to add that we are so grateful to the community for supporting us, because this is really going to provide some really badly needed safety for
yes.
the department. So from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you to the committees, the citizens, and the board. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Chief. And do we have a an approval of a part-time?
That'll be next month.
Okay. Firefighter, paramedic.
We didn't get quite. We were trying to go without replacing Doug Walters, and what had happened, Doug resigned, and then also one of our other part-timers is taking a job with Columbus, and he has to go through the academy. Columbus's academy, so he's going to be taking a leave of absence for about 6 months. So that's going to put us into some overtime situations. But we couldn't quite get all the paperwork ready by tonight. So first meeting in June, we'll be swearing in a new part-timer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
We even have a meeting later in May, but I don't know if you can get the May 20th?
Yes. 14 days.
But anyway, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, the one that we can get everything together on.
Okay,
we'll be squaring a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next, we have, I believe all the department heads have spoken. Hello, Joe, up in, where is he again?
He's in Paul.
He's in Paul.
Channel.
He was, yeah. Yeah. Joe did provide a monthly report for April, though. I'm now going to read it. It's available here at the township for anyone who would like it. We'd be glad to send it to anyone. All right. Announcements. May 10th, there is a zoning commission hearing at 7 p.m. May 17th, homeowner association roundtable at 6 p.m. The next trustee meeting is May 20th. and that will be our meeting, last meeting before we go into the summer schedule. And Trustee Carfagna would like to bring up one other item under new business.
Thank you, Madam Chair, if you just indulge me for a few minutes. And I wanted to raise this with both the chiefs around and with Paul. Route 3, we know how many accidents we've had throughout the township on Route 3 with the intersections. I had a young woman from Kingston Township involved in a near-fatal crash not long ago at Route 3 and Plum Road. And she, we had a pretty lengthy discussion about, you know, why there is not a traffic signal there. But it kind of spurred on some other things that at least Carl and I had heard while we were campaigning recently about speeds on Route 3, in particular south of Freeman, but before you reach the Westerville line where it goes from 55 to 35. There really isn't any sort of a slowdown from 55 to 45 to 35. It goes, I mean, it drops by 20 miles an hour. And I guess what I'd like to discuss is, you know, and we heard this while we were going door to door from residents in Highland Lakes there, just about how hard it is to turn out of Interlochen or drawing a blank on the other road, Highland Lakes, how hard it is with all the cars going. You know, I know that with Giammarco's going up, we're going to be seeing possibly increased foot traffic in that convergence point.
That's true.
I'd spoken to Paul about what can we do about speeds on Route 3 and trying to get it lowered again from 55 to 45 to 35, just kind of progressively slowing down. And it's my understanding that, I mean, obviously it's a state route, but I think the county would look into it first.
Initiate
it, but for us to initiate it with the county, we have to give Paul kind of the go-ahead to fill out a form and send it in to at least just start the process off looking at it. I mean, we know these things take lots of time, studies, but, you know, you just got to initiate it sometimes. So I guess, but I wanted to hear maybe from the chiefs to see, has this been looked at in the past? Is it worth looking into?
Chief Taylor.
Because I don't want to do anything that's going to impede our own safety forces.
Well, of course you're right. There is no buffer, and yes, there is a need to lower it. And we get these complaints also. Coming up State Route 3 southbound and approaching Interlochen and Highland Lakes at 55 miles an hour, it is too fast. But it is a state route, but it's never been addressed before either. So whatever we can do to alleviate that. And our last two accidents at Plum have been, I'm surprised they haven't been fatals. Mm. Hasn't been somebody running the stop signs. It's been fail to yield on turns.
Right. Mm. That's what this accident was.
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
And I mean, I know we've done everything we can on Plum Road and the streets that are our responsibility, adding those signs. But you know, State Route 3, it's a different animal, and I understand all the red tape that goes with that. But you know, again, I ask the question and try to get that speed adjusted. So I guess I would like to entertain a motion. I guess I don't know if you need a motion.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to have our township administrator file a request for engineering assistance with the county engineer's office to look into lowering the speed limit south of Freeman Road, north of Mount Royal, I guess it would be. I have that right. I don't know how exact I need to put it.
Okay.
That stretch.
I'll second that motion. Is there a discussion? Okay.
Roll call, Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And Trustee Gephardt, I believe you had an idea.
I think along the same lines, and it, you know, I was going through a neighborhood just the other day, and a nice warm evening, and a lot of kids out playing, and a little kid ran, boom, right in front of me. And fortunately, you know, maintaining the speed limit there, Chief, and you know, we were able to stop some coming. But I guess just more of a statement to our citizens, our residents, and just these warm days, people are out and they're walking in the neighborhoods and kids are out playing, and we just need to be continually careful. And I know we've talked in the past, Chief, about patrolling neighborhoods a little more and doing a little more enforcement on speed in our neighborhoods. So I think fair warning. But it is, it's great to see the people out and enjoying the evenings, but it's also starting to be dangerous.
Right, right. All good points. I'd just like to thank the voters of Genoa Township for the passage of both the police and fire levy. I realize that in these economic times especially, that an increase of tax is wanted. However, it was necessary to do, and we had a citizens committee study for a year and a half, and I want to thank them so much too. They met every week for the last, almost every week for the last year and a half, and worked tirelessly, and Mr. J. Troy chaired that committee, and Kay Erickson was the treasurer, and that was a PAC committee, Political Action Committee, that was separate from the township, and the literature they put out, the flyers they put out were good. The township put out fact sheets for both police and fire, which gave citizens facts on the levy. So I would like to thank everyone for their efforts in the passage of that levy. It certainly, like I mentioned before, shows great confidence in our safety forces.
Well said. Madam Chair, one final note. We can further pat ourselves on the back, that the residents, that is not this board. We do have the highest level of participation in the U.S. Census, Genoa Township.
In Delaware County.
In Delaware, I'm sorry, yes, in Delaware County.
Right. Maybe a lot of counties, though, maybe. Through a lot of Ohio, too, though.
Okay.
There aren't many higher, I bet. All right. Any other announcements? All right. I'll make a motion then to go into executive session to discuss details relative to the security arrangements and emergency response protocols for a public body or a public office, if disclosure of the matters discussed could reasonably be expected to jeopardize the security of the public body or public office, and also to hold conferences with an attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are the subject of imminent court action. Is there a second?
Second.
We are recessed into executive session then at 8:11 p.m. Thank you.